My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. In 1975, Justin Hayward and John Lodge of the Moody Blues created an album together called Blue Jays. One of the featured songs written by Hayward was entitled I Dreamed Last Night. Part of the lyric read, "Well, I dreamed last night you were calling my name. You were locked inside of your secrets, calling my name. And you told me lost was the key. And you told me how you longed to be free. That you don't know how. Oh, let me show you now." How do dreams shape our lives? What do they tell us about what has been and what we aspire to? Is there a way of mindfully dreaming to heal the past, clarify the present, and manifest the future? My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Dr. Claire R. Johnson, says there is. Claire is the leading expert on lucid dreaming. She has a doctorate from the University of Leeds on using lucid dreams as a creative tool, which was the first doctoral work in the world to explore this topic. A lucid dreamer herself, she's the board director of the International Association for the Study of Dreams. She regularly gives talks and leads workshops about dreaming. Her website is deeplucidreaming.com, and she joins me this week to discuss her just-released book, Mindful Dreaming, Harness the Power of Lucid Dreaming for Happiness, Health, and Positive Change. Please welcome to Destination Unlimited, Dr. Claire R. Johnson. Good evening, Claire.
Hi, Victor. I'm happy to be here.
And we're so happy that you joined us. And seeing that you were the first ever to have a doctoral degree to explore lucid dreaming as a creative tool tells me that you must have spent a good part of your formative years thinking about dreams. Please share with us your childhood experiences with dreams and how they formed your path.
Yeah, sure. Well, actually, my earliest life memory was of a dream, believe it or not. So I was 3 years old and I was had this amazing dream that I can still see today. It's very vivid, that I was swimming in a beautiful swimming pool. The water was turquoise and I was very happy. I was pleased with myself that I was able to swim. I was 3 years old. And then suddenly everything started to go wrong. I slipped under the water and I couldn't get up to the surface and I started to drown and I started to really, really panic because I truly believed I was drowning. And then suddenly I had this flash of lucidity and I knew that I had the choice. Either I could stay in that dream and drown or I could wake myself up. And I chose to wake up. And I did that by rolling really violently in the water, rolling. And in fact, that meant that in waking life, I rolled out of my bed, hit the floor with a bump. My mum came running upstairs, picked me up off the floor. And I said, "Oh, mummy, I dreamed that I was drowning." And she said, "It's all right, Claire. It was just a dream, not real. Go back to sleep." Now that for me, as you can imagine, that response from my mother that what I'd experienced was not real, that was really confusing because it was so real. And I thought, but how can she say that's not real? It was more real than being in my bedroom now with her. And I think, you know, looking back at that experience, that made me realize at a very early age that there is this whole other world that we can all explore every single night. And yet we tend to dismiss dreams. And for me, that was crazy because my whole life I've been a very vivid dreamer. From that moment on, I kept having really strong, vivid dreams. I actually slept, walked as a child as well. And you know, I'd have nightmares every now and again, like many children do. And I also started to have really wonderful experiences where I would fly in my dreams. I would fly out of the house when I was about 7 or 8, and I would be outside our house and looking around, and there'd be like kind of beings in the hedgerows, and these beings were really lovely. They would always giggle and have fun, and they also showed me a magic book which seemed to have kind of spells in it or magical wisdom, but I never actually saw those beings. I always knew they were there in these hedgerows, but I never actually saw them. But those dreams were wonderful for me, and I tried to talk to my parents about them as well, and they were just like, oh, you know, Claire's a little eccentric. She has these funny dreams, and never mind, kind of thing. But the difficult experiences I had was I had a series of lucid nightmares, and that was when I was aware that I was dreaming, but I couldn't get out of the dream. I didn't know how to change it. And these would be dreams where I would be on a hill with beautiful sunshine, so it all started beautifully, and then there'd be all these lines, these black lines crossing the sky, kind of like overhead power cables, and they would keep crisscrossing the sky, and the whole sky would go black, and I would scream and want to get away, and then I would wake up from the nightmare. And I just didn't get any kind of help for what to do in those situations, and I wish that someone had told me about lucid dreaming when I was a little girl, because when you become lucid in a dream, you can change the dream if you want to. You can ask the dream why these things are happening. You can get help to come into your dream with you, and you can help the dream to change and turn into something more harmonious. You can live the lesson that the dream wants you to live. But I didn't know any of that. So I kind of, it was kind of a baptism of fire through my nightmares until I finally realized that I could actually change things in my dreams when I was lucid and have incredible insights into my dreams through becoming lucid in them. And that's, I don't know, that whole experience just is what got me fascinated by lucid dreaming. So I decided to study it when I got to university.
3 years of age was very young to have that much of an awareness of what was going on, the fact that you were actually lucid dreaming, and then the dreams that occurred after that, including the ones you described when you were around seven. Any idea why you connected with that, with those themes in your dreams?
Well, I think that some people just do have a very strong, vivid dream life. I know that many children do, but I think, sadly, often when they get their parents' reaction that this world is not real and not important, they switch off from their dreams. But I just feel grateful that some part of me stayed connected to that whole other world, even though I understood my parents are not interested. Nobody else seems to have these experiences, but they were precious to me. There were so many beautiful dreams. I mean, you know, I talked about the nightmares a little bit, sure, but between those, there would be dreams where I would be communicating with animals or having those flying dreams, and they were so precious. They filled me up, those dreams. They made me wake up laughing, which is delightful. And so I guess, you know, I just stayed with my dreams because of that. And just learned and, you know, had quite a painful growing experience at times, but that's part of life, you know. but I do feel, I mean, I have edited a book on children's dreams, Sleep Monsters and Superheroes. And that book, oh, there's so many great experts who talk about dreams in that book and who help adults to understand the importance of children's dreams and how to help them through their nightmares. So I hope that will help some children to get that support that all kids need.
I can identify with your experience to a certain degree, because I was a child who was very sensitive to subtle energy, and I could see and hear things that other people couldn't, and was told that I had an overactive imagination until one day I proved it to my parents. So it was, so knowing what you went through, I have total empathy for you. So in your opinion, what are dreams and why are they important?
Well, dreams are sensations, experiences, and emotions that we have while we sleep. Usually there's a stream of vivid imagery in dreams, and they have a healing function because they release emotions which are too strong. Emotions often get stored in the body, and then if we don't release them, they can lead to illness or emotional blocks or creative blocks. So dreams have this incredibly important function of just releasing these emotions and allowing us to process what's happening in our lives, not just what's happened during that day, but our relationships and our relationship to our own past, all of these things come up in our dreams. They also have a problem-solving function. And basically, when we pay attention to our dreams, we're having a discussion with a deeper part of ourselves. And it's wonderful to actually listen to your dreams and gain insight into how should I react to this situation? What should I do next? And also, of course, neuroscience shows that dreaming consolidates memory and helps with the learning process. So dreams have all these different functions. They help us to heal. They help us with our memories. They help us to process our emotions. And at the same time, they're like these amazing stories that speak to us on a very deep level. They have their own symbolic language. There's so many metaphors in our dreams. And by sort of working with these metaphors, we can understand what the dream is saying about how we truly feel, because dreams act as a kind of mirror for our soul. They show us what's happening deep within us. And so many times it's only when we have a dream that we understand, wow, I really feel that bad about this situation, or, oh, I really feel like this situation is going to be good for me. You know, we kind of get clarity when we work mindfully with our dreams.
So in essence, dreams can become an internal therapist.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe so. Dreaming has always been my form of therapy, my personal form of therapy. If I feel unhappy in my life or uncertain, if I've got a big decision to make, and also if I'm stuck on my creative process, I go straight to my dream life. I write down my dreams. I find out what it is that they're trying to tell me. I do waking dream work with them to unwrap the meaning, to give me insight. And it helps me every single time. It's helped me throughout my entire life to do this.
My guest is Claire R. Johnson. She's the author of Mindful Dreaming: Harness the Power of Lucid Dreaming for Happiness, Health, and Positive Change. And we'll be back with more of Claire after these words on the OM Times Radio Network. Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this evening, Claire R. Johnson. She's the author of Mindful Dreaming: Harness the Power of Lucid Dreaming for Happiness, Health, and Positive Change. Claire, what makes a dream a lucid dream?
Well, lucid dreams are dreams where you realize that you're dreaming while you're actually in the dream. So your body is physiologically asleep, and you're in your dreaming environment. Everything that you see is a dream, and you suddenly have this realization that that is what it is. You know, most dreams, strange things happen, crazy things happen, and we don't even realize that it's a dream until after we wake up and we're like, well, hang on, you know, a griffin is a mythological creature. How could one of those just been perching on my shoulder? Or how come a giraffe just walked into the room, you know, and I didn't even realize it was a dream? It's easy to berate ourselves afterwards thinking, oh, I should have known, you know, it would have been so much fun to be lucid with that griffin or that giraffe. But in a lucid dream, we suddenly have this realization, and it opens up the entire dream. It's like shining a light on your unconscious mind, on these deep unconscious images. Suddenly you're there with them in the moment, and you can watch them unfold and develop. Or you can talk to these images or dream figures that you have, and you can find out more about them. Lucid dreaming has so many different functions. It can help us to understand more about ourselves. It can help us to overcome nightmares. I mean, for example, lucid dreaming can help people with PTSD nightmares, so post-traumatic stress disorder nightmares. It can help people with any kind of a recurring nightmare, because you can train people to become lucid in that recurring scenario. They say to themselves, the next time I have that nightmare, I will recognize that I am dreaming, and I will be able to change the dream or communicate with the dream or watch it unfold, but with no sense of fear because I know I'm safe in my bed. And lucid dreaming can help us to hone our skills as well. There's all sorts of things that we can do with lucid dreaming. Some great recent research has shown how we can actually practice sports skills in our lucid dreams. So for example, like kickboxing or swimming or snowboarding. And if we practice these sports in our lucid dreams, we strengthen the neural pathways in the brain by carrying out these actions in such a highly realistic environment. And then when we wake up, we see an improvement. And this is such lovely research. This is from Melanie Schädlich at the University of Heidelberg in Germany. And I just love her research. It's some of my favorite research. There was a guy who practiced swimming in his lucid dreams. And he swam through Sweeties and he swam through Honey to test the muscle resistance. And he would just create a swimming pool filled with whatever he wanted to swim through and practice his strokes. Because you can slow time down in a lucid dream. So he would slow time down to get the exact right arm movement and then wake up and be able to swim better. And this was actually a guy whose teacher told him, oh, you'll never be a good swimmer, just forget about it. And yet he practiced in his lucid dreams and he got the highest possible mark in his swim class at the end of that.
Can we practice intellectual skills in dreams, in lucid dreams?
Yeah, well, one thing I've tried was I did a degree in French, my undergraduate degree, and I used to practice my French in my lucid dreams because as part of a French degree, you go and live for 1 year in France. So I did that. But when I came back, I was in the north of England and, there were no French people around me. So I would go back to Montpellier in the south of France in my dreams and I would talk to French people. And of course, your brain actually saves everything. It will save those perfect French accents. It will save those particular voices and you can access them again in your lucid dreams. And that that really helped me. I got very, very good marks for my French degree because I kept practicing in my dreams while other students were simply asleep and not knowing that they were dreaming.
What about people who struggle with mathematics? Can they improve their mathematics through dreaming?
I think you can improve anything that you want to improve in your dreams, but I would say mathematics is possibly one of the harder ones because studies have shown that although it's good to do some little sums in your lucid dreams to engage your brain and to keep you lucid, actually, people's mathematical skills are not as good in their dreams as they are in waking life, as a general rule, unless they're absolute whiz kids. So you can get people who actually are a very high level of maths and they can work out incredibly complex equations in their lucid dreams and then the next day discover that they've got them right. I mean, things like that. But I'm not sure about kind of the middle levels. I think you can improve anything, but maths may be a bit of a tough one. It's quite interesting that you ask about that one.
I believe Einstein actually did some of his great formulation through lucid dreaming.
Right, yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, he's obviously already rather talented.
Yes, absolutely.
But one thing you can do in lucid dreams, though, is meet your version of Einstein, whoever is the top, in the top of your field, and ask them questions and get them to help you. So anyone can do that.
So lucid dreaming can be used not only for intellectual pursuits, but also for spiritual guides, if you'd like to get in touch with spiritual guides.
Absolutely. There are no limits. I've heard some people say, the only thing that limits you in a lucid dream is your imagination. But I disagree because that kind of implies that the dream is solely created by the imagination. But there is much more to dreaming and lucid dreaming than anything that we can create in our own imagination. They often go beyond the imagination. And you see that particularly in deep lucid dreaming or spiritual lucid dreams, because you go beyond anything you could have imagined. There are some quite incredible experiences that you can access in that state.
Now, I am a frequent lucid dreamer, and I sometimes hear what I would call a drumming sound as I'm dripping off to sleep just prior to the lucid dream beginning. What is that about?
Well, I think the stage of sleep that you're talking about is called hypnagogia. It's a stage of sleep where you're just starting to drop off, and you get all these pre-sleep images, sounds, and sensations. Hypnagogia is absolutely fascinating. It provides a very reliable gateway into lucid dreams. I'm sure you will have noticed yourself as you're dropping off to sleep, you get random images, mm-hmm. and they're often very strange. And first of all, they're static and they disappear quickly. But then if you stay with them, if you can retain your awareness and watch them, they'll stay for a bit longer in your field of vision and they'll start to move. And you'll see your whole dream. You can see it building up block by block through this hypnagogic imagery. And often these images are accompanied by strange noises. I remember hearing camera shutters going off and thinking, who is being cheeky enough to photograph me while I'm asleep? This is really out of order. And I forced myself awake, and of course there was nobody there taking a photo of me. So it can really fool you because they're so realistic. But basically, the brain goes through a lot of changes as it drops into sleep. And I think a lot of things just come up in that state. Some people report physical sensations of parts of their body sort of going to sleep, you know, having a sort of dead arm, or else, of course, complete paralysis. And that takes us into a different aspect of sleep that a lot of people have a problem with, which is sleep paralysis. We all experience a natural paralysis when we are asleep. But if you're awake in your brain and your mind, then if you're lucid, then you experience yourself as being trapped sometimes. So some people who don't know what's happening think that they're paralyzed, and they might get scary sensations and scary noises like deep breathing, or they think there's a presence in the room. And these are all connected to this state of sleep paralysis, which is a transitory period of sleep. But of course, if you know what it is, then you can control your fear and you can relax into that state and go from it into a beautiful lucid dream. So it is possible to release the fear that we get in these states and become lucid, go straight into a dream.
Now, many people say they either don't dream or can't remember their dreams. How would you answer them?
Well, everyone dreams every night, so I think it's more a question of not being used to recalling the dreams. But it's actually pretty easy to get into the habit of recording your dreams, of recalling your dreams, rather. Basically, you need to send a message to your dreaming mind to let it know that you are interested. And you need to kind of, when you wake up, either in the night, because we all have micro awakenings during the night, or in the morning, just lie still in the same position and think back, what was I just doing? How was I just feeling? Who was I just with? And even if all you can remember is a color or an emotion, you note that, you write it down, and then you'll find that as you go along, more and more of your dreams will come back to you. And you just kind of need to say to yourself before you go to sleep, I will remember my dreams, and have that as your first thought in the morning. What was I dreaming? It's actually a nice way of getting in contact with your dreaming mind. And if you write things down, that also sends a message to the dreaming mind. Wow, this is important enough to write down. So this person really is interested. And dreams are like flowers, you know. If you water them with your attention, they'll just bloom and grow, and there'll be more and more dreams. And before you know it, you won't even have time to write them all down, because you'll think, if I write down all my dreams, I'll just spend my entire life writing down my dreams, because I can remember so many of them.
I wonder
so they will
people,
come back.
I wonder if people who keep dream journals frequently actually can produce books from them.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, I'm sure. I mean, I know I've done this myself to an extent. When I was writing my first novel, that's Breathing in Color, that was part of my PhD on lucid dreaming as a creative tool. And I would take stuff from my dreams all the time, because you get so many amazing images and you have so many fantastic experiences in your dreams, and you can bring those into your characters' lives, into their dream lives, or you can weave it into the novel in some way. So it's certainly possible. I think dreams are an endless fount of creativity. It's just incredible what we can do with them.
My guest is Dr. Claire R. Johnson. She's the author of Mindful Dreaming, Harness the Power of Lucid Dreaming for Happiness, Health, and Positive Change. Claire, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you and your work.
Oh, thank you. Yes, well, you can get Mindful Dreaming in any bookstore. You can order it through there. It's also on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And I think basically you can get it anywhere as long as you look for it. And in the rest of the world, it's called Dream Therapy. So that's the same book. So Mindful Dreaming is actually the American title for the book.
And your website, please.
Oh, yes. It's www.deeplucidreaming.com. And I'm available there to answer questions on lucid dreams or nightmares or anything sleep related.
And we'll be back with more of Claire R. Johnson and Mindful Dreaming after these words on the OM Times Radio Network. Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this evening, Dr. Claire R. Johnson. She's the author of Mindful Dreaming, Harness the Power of Lucid Dreaming for Happiness, Health, and Positive Change. Claire, you say in your book that there are five types of dreams. What are they and how do they differ?
Okay, so, well, there are probably many more than five types of dreams, but you know how it is in a book. It's nice to it's nice to put them into neat little pockets like this. So I would say that, of course, there are lucid dreams, which we've already talked about, and there are also emotional dreams, so dreams which are more about how you're feeling about your life, and what's happening with regard to your relationships or your feelings about particular situations. And there are also physical dreams. Now, physical dreams are dreams about the body or dreams in which the body has a certain importance. On a very basic level, you could say that a physical dream could be a dream where you're absolutely desperate to go to the bathroom and you're running around your dream searching for a bathroom. This is a very common dream. And why did you have that dream? Well, you wake up needing to go to the bathroom and you realize it's a message from your body.
I have to share with you that at age 65 and taking a diuretic as part of my medical program, I frequently have those kind of dreams where I'm running through buildings looking for laboratories that don't seem to exist, and then finally wake up recognizing that I need to get out of bed and find my own laboratory. So yes, absolutely.
Exactly. Well, actually, you know, that sort of dream is great because it's a really good lucidity trigger, you know? You can say to yourself, next time I need to go to the bathroom in my dream, I'm going to say, hey, am I dreaming? And become lucid in my dream. So we can work with these to get more lucid in our dreams.
Because we're discussing laboratories, you share one amazing laboratory dream in your own story in your book. Please share that with our listeners.
Oh, yeah, sure. So this happened during a time in my life when I was very upset because my daughter had been diagnosed with an illness. And I was struggling to cope, to make sure everything was all right with her, and I wasn't paying enough attention to myself and my own needs, of course, you know. So that's the way it is being a mother with a sick little girl. But anyway, I had this dream that I went into a lavatory, and in the lavatory I saw a woman who was kind of squashed down. She was sitting on the lavatory, but she was squashed down by the lid, and she had long blonde hair and it was hanging down. And I looked at her and thought, what's going on? And I realized that she was dead. And I was so shocked. I became lucid, but I just backed out of the cubicle and I woke up and didn't want to face it. So now it's very rare for me not to face something in a lucid dream, and so that really kind of shocked me, and I realized I have to work with this dream. So I went back into the dream in my imagination. I went back in and it was still very, very real, and I went in and looked at this woman who seemed to be dead, and I helped her to get up, and I realized that she wasn't actually dead. She had just fainted, and she was still unconscious, and she was on the floor now of the cubicle, and I helped to kind of bring her back to consciousness, and I rubbed some cream onto her face or her neck or something to bring her back. And then suddenly she came back, and she was awake again, and I hugged her. And then I saw that down inside the lavatory, there was a ring, a piece of jewelry, a beautiful blue ring. And so I took that out for her, and I washed it, and I washed my hands, and I gave her the ring. And then we walked out of the bathroom together and into a lovely green park. And just as we were entering the park, I said to her, "Oh, you know, what does that ring represent to you?" And she said, "Hope." Mm. And then I realized, oh, she lost her hope down the lavatory. She lost her hope, and that's why she kind of seemed to disappear and die and couldn't take it anymore and was trapped, you know, by her situation. And that was just an amazing moment of insight for me, because I realized how desperate I'd been feeling, and I'd been like, I'd lost a lot of my hope that my daughter would be okay. And I hadn't realized the toll it had been having on me emotionally, or else I'd just kind of been pushing it away. You know, when you have to be there for someone else, you don't pay enough attention to your own emotional needs. But that dream really just, like, it just made me understand what needed to happen. I needed to take care of myself again in order to be able to take care of my little girl. And once that had changed, it was amazing. All my dreams changed as well. I started to have really hopeful, happy dreams. Like in one of them, I was a lifeguard on a beach, and the waves were rolling in, and it was beautiful. So I became like this kind of happy lifeguard. I was taking care of my daughter's life, but I was happy as well, and I trusted that she would be okay, and she was okay. I'm very happy to report.
that's sage advice also for all of us who are those who take care of others and sometimes neglect to take care of ourselves. And that message from that dream for you was absolutely perfect and beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. Yeah.
So that would come under the category of emotional dreams. Then you also talk about archetypal dreams. What are archetypal dreams?
Yeah. So archetypal dreams. Well, Carl Jung believed that archetypes embody all basic human experiences and universal meanings. So they're kind of images that come up again and again in the human psyche. They're ancient and they're powerful. And we get these a lot, of course, in films. You know, you'll all recognize Obi-Wan Kenobi in Star Wars, for example, who's a hero archetype. Archetypes can be positive and they can also be negative, but they have this deeply familiar energy that shines through dreams and sort of transcends the mundane level of our lives. So they're often about something very deep. Archetypal dreams, they can help us to shed light on a situation in our lives, to see ourselves as part of a human universal pattern and where we are in that pattern and where we want to go. So they can be very powerful. And again, it's a nice way of looking at your dream. Are there any archetypes in that dream I just had? Because that can help us to understand more the interplay of energies within our dreams.
How can archetypal dreams help us to deal with negative characters in our day-to-day life?
Well, I think a crucial thing is recognition. It's always recognition and acknowledgement of what is happening. That's often a first step to healing in any situation. So if we have an archetypal figure in our dreams and we realize that actually that archetypal figure is our boss or our partner in our relationship or our mother-in-law, whoever it is, then we begin to understand the power that that person apparently has over us. And then we can start to break that power and regain our own power and become empowered ourselves. We can take steps. So it's only in recognizing really the damage that other people might be doing to us that we are able to take the next step, which is to free ourselves from that and to become empowered again.
Absolutely, to face that in the lucid dream and then acquire the courage necessary to either disassociate yourself or express your dissatisfaction with the situation in life.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're in a lucid dream, you can also question that archetypal figure and say, why are you in my life? Why, you know, what are you here to teach me? And what can I do to get through this situation?
Who do you represent? So, absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly, to get clarity. And of course, we can, when we do waking dream work, which I talk about a lot in mindful dreaming as well, we can bring this lucidity and all the possibilities of lucid dreaming into our waking dream work that we do. So we can work on a dream and re-enter it in our waking imagination and ask the archetypal figure what they represent. You know, it doesn't have to be just when we're lucid in the dream. And I think this is a wonderful thing for people who find that they're not getting lucid that much. It's really good to know that when you work with waking lucidity, you could also have these transformative insights. And the more that you do waking dream work, the more likely you seem to become lucid in your dreams, because you just get used to it. Often what is a lucidity trigger for me is I'm in a dream and I'm looking at some weird imagery and I think, huh, what would that represent if this was a dream? And then I'm like, oh, it is a dream. So, you know, it becomes a trigger. You get so used to working with dream images in your waking life that you start to do it automatically in your dreams. You question everything.
And then you talk about soul dreams. What are soul dreams?
Yeah, soul dreams are very personally powerful, luminous dreams. And they're dreams that seem to show us exactly how we feel on a very deep soul level. They're often dreams that involve the higher, so spirit and soul. They may have incredible beauty in the dream. There may be profound mystery. We may meet up with a teacher or guru type figure and receive wisdom. Dreams like that are soul dreams. These are just wonderful dreams. They can help us to unlock our deepest potential and discover our life's purpose and receive clarity in all areas of our lives.
How can one become a lucid dreamer?
How can one become a lucid dreamer? Well, I think the most important step for becoming a lucid dreamer is to keep a dream journal, because this brings us into close contact with our dreaming mind. It sets up a very strong relationship with our dreaming mind. And the more that we write down our dreams, the more we'll recognize the kind of dreams that we have. We'll see our individual dream symbols. Oh yeah, you know, I always dream about pink cars, you know. Okay, so the next time I see a pink car, I'm going to remember I'm dreaming. So the dreams will start to help you to get lucid as well. It's wonderful when you announce your intention to become lucid in your dreams and you pay attention to your dreams by writing down your dreams in your journal, then your dreams will start sending you lucidity triggers. In one lucid dream I had many years ago, I was at a party in this dream and I was standing talking with a young man and he said, "Of course, in dreams you can float." And I looked down at our feet and they were floating off the ground. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's a lucidity trigger. I couldn't miss even if I tried, you know. So your dreams will do that for you all the time. And another thing is to carry out reality checks, which is also a kind of mindfulness, right? So as you go about your day, whenever you see something a little strange or beautiful or ugly or random, you ask yourself, am I dreaming this? And you don't expect the answer to be no. You've got to kind of imagine it could be yes. You know, you focus on what you're seeing and feeling. You question your state of consciousness. The more often you do this while you're awake, the more likely you are to do the same while you're dreaming and then realize, ah, yes, I'm dreaming this.
Her book is Mindful Dreaming. My guest is Claire R. Johnson. And we'll be back with more of Claire after these words on the OM Times Radio Network. Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this evening, Dr. Claire R. Johnson. She's the author of Mindful Dreaming, Harness the Power of Lucid Dreaming for Happiness, Health, and Positive Change. Claire, are there limitations to lucid dreams?
I would say no. There are no limitations, really. There are no limitations because it's a state of consciousness. I mean, we're still discovering about it, right? We're still exploring the deeper outer reaches of lucid dreaming. What I've discovered myself, I've had these experiences in lucid dreams where all of the dream imagery falls away and I'm floating in what feels like infinite space, and I don't have a body anymore, which is a lovely feeling. It's very light and very free. And I don't, you know, after a while, I don't even really have a sense of myself as Claire Johnson anymore. I'm just awareness in a sea of awareness. And it is, it's just an amazing thing. It's like returning to the source. It feels like this is where we came from, and this is where we'll end up. And we have this inside of us all the time, and we can reach it through different states of consciousness. And lucid dreaming is one of the ways of reaching this incredible spiritual state. So in terms of limitations, I haven't actually found any yet myself.
Do you think that type of dream, because I've often had that type of dream, okay. Do you think that's our way of connecting with another dimension?
I think it's our way of returning to the source, whatever the source is. I feel like when I'm in that state, I feel like I lack nothing. I feel like I'm where I belong. I feel like I'm totally loved and safe and infinite. Like, I don't know, there's none of this. You know how we're so divided in our waking lives, and he's separate from me, and this is my house with my concrete walls built around it, and, you know, it's us and them and all that, and none of that exists. It is like, you could say it's another dimension, or it's just the whatever, the it. This is what it actually is. This underlies every aspect of reality. I think that we have all of these different states within us all the time. I don't think that it's a linear thing, or I don't think you have to do a certain thing to get to a certain place. I think that when we float in this lucid light, as I call it, that we are simply returning to the infinite source from which we all came.
I could not agree with you more, and I think that we should start a worldwide class in teaching people how to get to that state and experience what we've been experiencing. And perhaps in doing so, in that feeling of reconnection, maybe we could change the world.
That's exactly what I think. And that's what, I mean, in my Llewellyn's Complete Book of Lucid Dreaming, this is a really, really massive book with 20 years of my lucid dream research and all my personal experience. And that's exactly what I say in there when I go into these experiences, these light-filled experiences, and I return from them to a waking state of consciousness. I feel like, wow, you know, wouldn't it be lovely if people could experience this more often? Because it brings you together with other people. It's incredibly peaceful. It's a sense of we are all one, and we all came from the same place. And I think that really, this is the thing that could change the world and make the world more peaceful and allow people to connect on a far deeper spiritual level.
Absolutely beautiful. And see really the oneness. Drop the division and see the oneness. I think that's what it's all about.
Exactly.
We had talked earlier about using lucid dreaming for PTSD. How about using dreams to heal childhood traumas?
Yes. Well, I mean, this happens a lot. It's actually a very good way of returning to a childhood trauma in a safe environment. There's one example, again, this is in the Llewellyn's Complete Book of Lucid Dreaming. A little girl, she was about 10 or 11, and she had a very bad childhood with a lot of abuse. And she used to get these recurring nightmares that she was in her sitting room, and there'd be like a conveyor belt rolling around in the room, just going around and around. And on that conveyor belt, strapped down, was her sister. And at the end of the conveyor belt was an evil man who was going to get her. And this, you know, when she had these dreams as a little girl, she would just be frozen because she didn't know, even though she knew it was a dream, she didn't know that she could act or do anything to change the dream. And this was just showing her helplessness and her powerlessness in the face of this abuse. And then she told me that suddenly, you know, after years of this horrendous nightmare, she did realize that she could change something in the dream. And she took what may sound like a fairly extreme measure, she manifested a knife in her hand in that dream, and she stabbed the evil man. Mm. Yeah. And that dream never happened again. The evil man never came to her dreams again. Now, it's an interesting thing because, it may sound extreme, right, stabbing the dream figure, but I think any action that takes the victim out of the state of being a victim and into the state of empowerment is a good thing in the dream world, not talking about the waking world. But yeah, because basically it's for some children who have lived through such abuse, there's no question of like, oh, let's hug the dream monster. You know, there's no way that they would be ready for that kind of contact with such a scary dream figure. And so taking that step, that really released this woman from those, from she was a girl at the time, it released her from part of the trauma. It made her understand, I can change things, not only in my dreams, but in my waking life. I can get my power back, you know? And I mean, she had a very difficult life even after that, but she's a very, very strong woman. I've actually met her in person, and you feel her strength because she has had to overcome so much having lived through all that childhood trauma.
So these dreams can help us find their empowerment. Can dreams also create an arena for us to express forgiveness?
Absolutely. I mean, and this would be the goal on the psychological level, right? To actually be able to forgive within the dream. And this is also something I talk about in mindful dreaming, because forgiveness is one of the most powerful things that we can do to free us from our past. So we can send love and forgiveness to a nasty dream figure in a lucid dream or in a waking visualization, you know, when we work with the dream while we're awake. We can send them light and good energy. And it's amazing how fast that dissolves the negative energy. I mean, it works wonders. Just summoning a feeling of love in your lucid dream, you can get that feeling really fast and really strong, and it can just transform the entire dream. I think I have an actual technique on that in my in mindful dreaming, the love and light transformative technique. It's one of my own favorites, because yeah, that is the way to calm down the imagery and take the negative charge away from it and replace it with something healing.
And self-forgiveness.
Self-forgiveness, equally, also very important. And this can be done in lucid dreams or in any sort of dream work when you're awake. And just allowing yourself to not be kind of the perfect, this idea of a perfect person that you want to live up to, but accepting your faults and realizing, okay, this didn't go well, that didn't go well, but I love myself and I forgive myself. And that is very powerful to be able to do that. You can try that in a lucid dream, looking in a mirror as well. That makes it even more powerful to see yourself and forgive yourself and watch the way your face changes in the mirror.
Absolutely. You dedicate a portion of the book to dreams of bereavement. How can lucid dreaming help us in the grieving process?
Yeah, well, there are two types of bereavement dreams. There are negative and positive ones. So in a positive one, you see the deceased loved one and they're radiant, glowing with life. Everything seems good and you feel like a real strong, loving connection with them. Those are wonderful dreams that don't need any work, really. They're just kind of, they are what they are and they give you great comfort. But negative bereavement dreams are much more difficult. Grief is one of the most complex human emotions because it's not usually just a question of missing the person. There's often guilt involved, or there could be a bitterness or a feeling of having been cheated because the person has died and left you on your own. All sorts of emotions in there. Lucid dreaming is a great, great platform on which to work with all these difficult emotions. So you can summon the deceased loved one in your lucid dream, and then you can say to them the words of love or forgiveness that you never got to say to them, perhaps in waking life, or you can give them a hug and forgive them or ask them to forgive you in the dream. And it can be fantastically healing to do this because it feels absolutely real. You feel like the person is actually there, and it's a very kind of very strong sensory experience. You actually feel the hug. You can smell their perfume. You know that they're there again in your arms. So it's a very, very good way of working with difficult emotions to just help you kind of to process them, really, and to be able to release things that you don't want to hang on to anymore.
What would you like readers to take away from mindful dreaming?
I think just, well, whatever they need to take away, really. And I mean, there's so much. I guess my message that I'd like to tell the world is that dreams are there to help us. You know, they're our best friend. They'd be our best friend if we allowed them to be. You can get help from your dreams at any time of the day or night. They're always there for you. They offer so many insights and so much wisdom. And I think, you know, if we can reach out a hand to them and go through life with our dreams, then we have a happier life. And for me, that's clear. And I hope that that's what people would take away from the book, at least, huh?
My guest, Claire R. Johnson. She's the author of Mindful Dreaming, Harness the Power of Lucid Dreaming for Happiness, Health, and Positive Change. Claire, please tell our listeners one more time where they can get your book and find out more about your work.
Oh, sure. Thank you. Yes, yeah, so Mindful Dreaming can be ordered from any bookshop, and it's called Dream Therapy in the Rest of the World. So it's Mindful Dreaming in the US and Canada. And it's online on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, various other online outlets. And my website is www.deeplucidedreaming.com. And I'm available there to answer questions on nightmares and lucid dreams and sleep-related stuff.
Claire, thank you so much for joining us this evening. This interview has been a dream. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Victor. It's been lovely to talk to you.
And thank you all for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.